Hello, I'm Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Today on Personally Speaking, I'll be joined by Tony-nominated actor Josh Young. Josh is best known for appearing on Broadway as Judas in the revival of Jesus Christ Superstar. Please stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti. And Tony-nominated actor Josh Young joins me now. Josh made his Broadway debut as Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar, which earned him a Tony nomination for Best Featured Actor in a Musical. And he originated the role of John Newton in Amazing Grace, also on Broadway. He also performed in the national tour of Les Miserables and the international tour of West Side Story, performing as Tony. Josh has a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in musical theater from Syracuse University. He's married to an actress, Emily Padgett, and last year they welcomed a daughter named Adele. Last fall, Josh joined the faculty of Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan, and as assistant professor at the University School of Music, Theater, and Dance. He's here with us today to talk about his life, his career, his marriage, his family, and the values that sustain him. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking, the great actor, the great singer, Josh Young. Josh Young is our guest. Josh, thanks so much for being on Personally Speaking, and let's talk about your life, your acting, your singing, and now your new work in education. I had the opportunity for our listeners around the country to see Josh Young on Broadway stage twice, one in which he played Judas, another in which he played John Newton in Amazing Grace. So, Josh, let me start there. When you took on the role of Judas, we had a guest a few years ago, Jonathan Schack, who had played the role of Judas in the movie of Judas's life on TV. Did you know anything about Judas, and what did you bring to the role?
I didn't much about Judas at all. At that point, I hadn't read the New Testament because I'm Jewish, and I just had no background in him at all. So I did just tons of research. I read everything that I could. I read a very obscure gospel called The Gospel According to Judas, which I don't know if it was real or not. But there's tons of resources about Judas's life, and you know, it's hard to say what is fact and what is fiction. But I took what I thought would be most interesting dramatically and added that.
I wanted to ask you too. When you starred in Amazing Grace on Broadway and told the story of John Newton, what did you know of him, and what did you learn?
Again, John Newton, I knew absolutely nothing about. Everything I learned about him, I had to read. I could tell you everything I learned was there's lots of biographies written on John Newton, and what I learned was that he was a horrible, terrible man growing up. He was a slave ship captain, and he was terrible to his slaves. And he's a man who repented and eventually found God and became an ordained minister and wrote Amazing Grace. So his story of redemption is, it's meant for a Broadway stage. It's just an incredible story of redemption.
Well, let's talk about you as an actor then. First of all, going back to Judas, for I think almost every listener to our show would have somewhere along the line have either heard the soundtrack or seen perform Jesus Christ Superstar. But the role of Judas has to be one of the toughest, both vocally, emotionally, and in terms of acting skills. How night after night did Josh Young put out his best as Judas when it is one taxing role?
It really came down to saving up everything I had during the day. I really lived kind of like a monk, because it is, I think, one of the most taxing roles physically and vocally that's ever been written. So when I wasn't performing on stage, I did the show on and off for 2 years. Started at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in Stratford, Ontario, and then it transferred to the La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego. And then it finally made it to Broadway. And by that time, I'd been doing it for about a year and a half, and then I did it for few months on Broadway. And I found for that whole almost 2 year span, all I could do during the day in order to be able to, you know, give my best at night for the paying audience, all I could do is stay at home, drink water and exercise, sleep as much as humanly possible. And it was worth it because it was such, you know, it's such a great role and it's such a great musical and such a great part. So I was glad to do it.
Back at the turn of the century, there was a Jesus Christ Superstar in New York, and Glenn Carter played Jesus in that one. And I had interviewed Glenn at the time, and he said, "My role was tough," he said, "but can't hold a candle to the level of energy that Judas has to put out, you know." And
you're
saying,
true.
Essentially, by living as a monk, you were a monk for those times when you're doing the part. Josh, let's go back earlier in your life. Most parents don't mind if their kids get into acting as an avocation, as a hobby, but the idea that they're not going to have a steady job, they're not going to have a constant paycheck and a pension, is pretty scary to any parent. Your family of origin, were they very supportive of the notion of you going into the arts?
They were. As soon as I think they realized, you know, I got great feedback from teachers, and I did community theater and classes, youth theater, summer camps. As soon as, like, if you get enough good feedback, I think they start believing that this was a viable profession for me. So I think once they had enough people telling them that, they've started to believe it, and they were able to support me 100%. Also, I mean, my mother, if her mother would have been supportive, she would have wanted to do the same thing that I got to do. So I think she took that, you know, her growing up wanting to be a Broadway actress, the fact that her mother wasn't supportive, I think she didn't want to take that away from me as well. So I see that opportunity. It supported me in every way, and I was able to do it. But you're absolutely right. It is a difficult profession, and you always have to be auditioning and being very sharp at the top of your game. And even then, there's about a, in musical theater, there's a 2% employment rate. That means a 98% unemployment rate at any given time. So even if you're the absolute best, there's chances that you're not working sometimes during the year.
Josh Young, our guest today, is now himself a married man to Emily, and he's a dad of Adele. I mentioned that by way of going back again to your own parents. When you look back to your earlier life, Josh, what did your parents do right in raising you?
What did they do right? You're assuming that they did something right.
We're hoping.
I think they did. What did they do right? I think they just really instilled a sense of right and wrong, and they really led by example on how to be a good person, how to give charity. And in my house, it was called tzedakah, which is Hebrew for charity. And just how to be a mensch, how to be a good person, how to treat others the way you would want to be treated. Those were the most important values that I think my parents instilled in me.
I'm happy to say that when I do interfaith marriages with my rabbi friends, one of the rabbis I work the most with says, "You don't know what this means, Lasanti," he said, "but you are a classic mensch," and I found out it was a compliment, so I was happy about it. So
that's a big compliment.
Good. I'm happy to be a mensch. Well, let me ask you something, especially in the indefinite career of the arts, is the decision to be married and to raise a family, is that an act of faith?
Is it an act of faith? I mean, I guess anything you do in life is an act of faith, considering you don't know what the outcome is ever really, truly going to be. But for me, marriage and a family was something that I had always wanted, and then you find the right person, and then you want to just build your life together. I don't know if that's faith in God or just faith in the fact that you love that person and you believe that. That you should be building that family, having those children together. And I'm happy to say that my wife and I have settled down and are having a great life in Michigan, of all places now, as we both were in New York City for 15 years. But we just moved to Michigan.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
How in the world did you end up in beautiful Michigan?
So I was in between jobs. I had just actually worked in Jerusalem doing a show called Soul Doctor, the musical. Have you heard of that one? It was on Broadway for a little while. It was the story of Shlomo Carlbach. He was a famous rabbi in the 70s. He was He was like a rock and roll rabbi, and it made it to Broadway, and I was doing a tour of it that went to Israel. So my wife and I, we were in Jerusalem, and then and we did that show, and it was a great experience. And I came back, and again, we were both auditioning. And then I was also, at the same time, I was going everywhere doing concerts. I was doing concerts all over the world, and I was also doing, there's this Broadway cruise ship that I was doing. And we also, with all this stuff going on, we also knew we wanted to have children. And as soon as my wife got pregnant, we realized we didn't want to have to be going to New York City at night, not being able to put our baby to sleep and not knowing when our next job was. And
right.
I had always wanted to be a teacher. And one of my professors at Syracuse University, where that was where I graduated from, had posted that she was retiring and that they were looking for a replacement for her. Now, so I did all the things I could. I applied, I sent in a teaching statement, and all jumped through tons of hoops, only to find out that they were only interested in considering people with master's degrees, which I do not have. So since I had already done all that work and I had all that material put together, I said, well, maybe some other schools would consider me without a master's degree. And there are many schools that are looking for people who have that equivalent experience, the people who've worked really hard in their area of study. So this one university mm-hmm. called Oakland University, they said in their breakdown what they were looking for their professors, they said master's degree or equivalent experience. So I felt I had equivalent experience, and I proved that to them. And we... My wife and I, we had had our child, and we were looking for a place, we were looking for a community that had great schools and was known to be a great place to raise a family. And Rochester Hills, where the university is, has one of the best school districts in the country. And it all just kind of fell into place, and it feels right, and we love it here. And we're certainly happy not to be in New York City right now, considering I hear it's really tough with the virus and everything and the social distancing, considering everybody is so close to each other no matter what. So, yeah, we're thrilled. We're out here in
a frightening time. No,
are you in New York?
Like you're getting to use... we are, yeah, and it is a scary time and a time of great sadness because of the loss of life and... but, you know, so it sounds like, Josh, you've been able to combine your life in the arts with the joy of marriage and stability and good choices all around. You know, Josh, when every weekend, usually I get a chance to do weddings for people and to prepare, I say, look, so I can give a decent homily, a sermon, do me an essay of why, of all the people in the world, the billions out there, this one is the one you think you can build a life with. You probably were not asked to do that when you married Emily, but... Why is Emily the one for you?
Oh, she's sitting right next to me right now.
you better get it right.
I mean, Emily, she's my best friend. We are since we've been together, we've been able to share everything together. Sometimes she doesn't like all the things that I share. Sometimes I don't like all the things that she shares. But we always are able to come to solutions, and we have a great back and forth, and we both love each other's sense of humor. And we have the same goals, and, you know, we just kind of fit like a puzzle piece, I guess you could say. Sometimes we have a hard time getting some things together, but at the end of the day, we love each other, and we're just thrilled with our life that we're creating together.
Yeah, I think that's a good... Any ideas why she would marry you?
Why she would marry me, and why would you marry me? she can't... She's trying to think of a reason, I think, but she's having a thought. She said, because I'm her best friend.
I think she probably has lots of reasons. We'll do that with her in another interview. But now, Josh, getting back to something I wondered about in terms of the acting career, when you've been as busy as you have been with concerts, but also especially your theater career, every actor I know says that there are some parts I am perfect for, should have gotten the role and didn't. Do you remember when you were so right for something and didn't get it? How does Josh Young handle... disappointment or rejection?
Well, I think the most important thing, especially in this industry, you need to remember that when one door closes, another one tends to open. So as long as you're going into that audition room and you're doing your absolute best work, there was one, do you remember there was a Little Night Music was on Broadway, I don't know, what was it, maybe 10 years ago? And I thought I thought I was perfect for the role of Henrik. And I was devastated. I even learned to play cello for the audition for Stephen Sondheim. So I worked so hard for that, and I didn't get it, and I was upset. But if I hadn't learned to play the cello for that role, and I hadn't impressed Stephen Sondheim and the casting directors, especially it was Tara Rubin casting, if I hadn't impressed her with my work ethic and that audition, then she wouldn't have called me in a couple months later for the Stratford Festival. She's the casting director, the American casting director for the Stratford Festival, when they need an American. The Stratford Festival is an amazing theater festival in Canada. So that they couldn't find a Canadian to play the role of Che, and they were doing Gary Griffin, who is the director of the original Color Purple and many other great musicals. He was directing a revolutionary new production of Vita at the Stratford Festival. And for some reason, they couldn't find a Canadian to play the role of Che. So they called Tara Rubin, the casting director, and she said, well, I do know this guy who was great. He just came in for me for this audition for Little Night Music. We didn't cast him in that. So they ended up casting me as Che in that Avita production. And from that Avita production, the Stratford Festival hired me back the next year to play Judas Iscariot in Jesus Christ Superstar. And that ended up being my Broadway debut. So, you know, it all came from an audition that I didn't get. So thank goodness I didn't get it.
Right.
Because playing the role
no, everything
Judas,
worked
a lot
this,
better
was
than playing the role of Henrik. I think so.
Josh Young is our guest, a wonderful actor and singer and performer and professor at the moment. Josh, I want to ask you, a few years ago we had Stephen Schwartz on the show, and I asked him, you know, aside from Pippin and Wicked, oddly enough, one of the first things you ever wrote was Godspell, about the life of Jesus from the Gospels of Matthew. And I asked him why, as a secular Jewish man, he would write a musical about Jesus. And he said, you don't have to be Christian to know the world would be in much better shape if people actually lived by the teachings of Jesus. I mentioned that because
when you talked before
about your Jewish upbringing. Yeah, he had great insight, as you do too. But I'm wondering, when you were raised, was the Jewishness of your upbringing more cultural or religious or spiritual?
It was very much cultural. My parents would have preferred that I went to services and was more observant. I was raised in a house where they kept kosher, and they tried to instill those beliefs in me. But they tried to raise me conservative Judaism, and that was a little too strict for me. And more recently, I've come around to the Reform faction of Judaism, which I find that there's a lot more music in it. Conservative Judaism, a lot of times in services, it's all the cantor sings and there's no accompaniment. In a lot of Reform synagogues, they have guitars and pianos, and it's more my speed. So recently, I've found that, and I'm loving that. But growing up, my even though my parents tried to instill a conservative belief, it's not the way I ended up.
Yeah, that's very honest, and I think that represents not just people who are Jewish, but Christians and all sorts of people, that we sometimes go in a different direction from our parents, and we find our own spiritual root, which is beautiful. Well, now, you two have this magnificently beautiful young daughter named Adele, and I know she's way too young to ask this question, but do you have any idea at all how you're supposed to pass on ethical, human, good, solid values to this baby that you love?
I can only look at the way my parents raised me and try to do nearly as well as they do. I think I had a really fantastic mother and father, and I need to just try to follow in their footsteps. I know my wife was also raised really well by her parents, and I think that's just the way it is, generation to generation, probably for thousands of years. You try to strive to be as good as your parents, hopefully if they were good parents. And luckily, both of us had great parents. I think all we can do is let her watch us be the good people that we try to be and do the good things that we try to do and try to lead by example. And that's what we try to do for her. Right now, she's 14 months old, and she seems pretty great so far. So hopefully it stays that way.
And Josh, were you there to give Emily moral support through the birth?
I sure was. I was absolutely there through the whole thing, and it was a little bit of a traumatic birth, but we came through it okay. Ended up having to be at the NICU for a little while, but everything ended up great. I hear right now that in hospitals, the husband is not allowed into the room because of the rules because of COVID. which has got to be really rough.
Yeah, at the moment, that's the truth.
Yeah. So we're hoping,
you
know,
when
we...
Sorry,
you're saying?
No. Some guys are seeing their babies be born on screen, but they can't be there for the actual birth, which you're right, is tough. But you got to be there. You got to be there for Adele, which is wonderful. And also important to be there for Emily.
Yeah. It was a beautiful thing.
Josh Young, I want to ask you another question about acting, which intrigues me. We live in this culture where looks and youth are glorified. When you've been involved in acting and singing, does the process of aging intimidate you, or do you invite it?
Oh, well, I've always been somebody who's played roles younger than myself. Possibly it's from a youthful appearance. Also, it's because I'm not very tall, so they always want to cast me as somebody who's younger than I am. The main thing about aging I have found is when I was younger playing roles, I threw myself into the roles so much that as I got older, I feel like I've hurt my joints because I can feel it now. Even though I threw myself into it so hard in my 20s and early 30s, I wasn't really feeling it until I got to my late 30s. That maybe I shouldn't have given my 150%. Maybe in Jesus Christ Superstar, I shouldn't have every night jumped off a second story platform. You know, maybe I could have taken the stairs instead.
Right.
But that's the main thing is just the physical toll that my overambitious work ethic has laid, the physical toll from that. When it comes to like appearance, I kind of invite it because I want to start playing older, more character-y roles. Right now, I'm really only concerned about raising my family and teaching. But, you know, eventually I'd like to take a sabbatical and hopefully, you know, if Les Miserables came back to Broadway, I would love to try to get in there for Jean Valjean. But I wouldn't be able to do that unless I looked a little bit older. And that's the role I want to play now. So I invite it.
Josh Young, are you still doing your concerts?
I am. I have had 10 canceled because of what's going on now. Postponed. We've had several great... We were supposed to sing with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra last week, and that was postponed. We were supposed to sing with a couple other orchestras, and we were going to be doing... And what's the theater in Long Island? The Engelman Theater in Long Island. That was... Actually, I don't even... That might not have been canceled yet. It's probably going to be canceled, and we had a couple other ones in upstate New York. What was it? Saratoga Springs was just postponed. So, unfortunately, everything's being postponed, but we are still trying because we love that, and that's one way to kind of scratch that creative itch that we have, that we get to do these concerts, and we get to do them together.
Right, to continue to use that gift of your voice and to use it in a creative way. Do you have any sense, and this is such an impossible question to answer, but do you have any sense of when people might start coming back to theater and to concert halls again?
I hear there are some theaters that are trying, like this very week, to reopen, but to reduce the capacity to 20% so that there's at least six feet in each direction. So it's going to be maybe they're going to start that way soon, where you have a theater meant for 1,000 people and you end up putting in 200 people. That might just barely cover operating costs. Hopefully they'll start doing that with concerts as well pretty soon. But I don't think things are going to get back to normal until there's a vaccine for what's going on, until people, because the tough thing is in theater, it's a ton of people squeezed into a small space, and that's the recipe for disaster with any kind of airborne virus. So, you know, I feel bad for all of my friends who are actors right now. They have no idea when their next job's going to be. I feel very fortunate to be where I am, but also I miss doing what I love to do. So I'm just hoping that this all ends soon and everybody can go back to what they were doing before.
I was in New York attending a showing of the new production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and I turned out to be at the last performance because the next day theaters were closed down, and it was scary to see that, you know, we all had a great time. It was a great play, but that kind of chance for enjoying theater might not come for a while. We are here talking to the actor, singer, performer, teacher, Josh Young, wonderful talent. Josh, I promise I'm wrapping it, but our last guest in the studio before we had to close down actually doing interviews in the studio was the actor Reeve Carney, who was starring in Hatterstown. And he said that part of his job is not only to do what he does on stage, but also that he spends endless time at stage door seeing people who have come to see him personally. How do you continue to handle that very sensitive line between what I offer on stage versus how much do I have to give to?
It's a really good question. And the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, we are hired to perform for those 2 to 3 hours. The stage door, really feel anything at the stage door is extra. And some people have the stamina to go and do that. But often, depending on the role you're doing, you need to, after the show, you got to go home and rest. And you can't talk to people over, you know, people are very loud there. And you're, by talking over all those people in a crowd waiting for an autograph, you're shortchanging the next night's audience because they're not going to be able to get 100% of you because you gave more at the stage door afterwards. So I strongly feel that it's great, those people who can do that. And sometimes, some nights, you feel great afterwards, and if the role, you're doing a role that does not take everything out of you, great. Say hi to the people who do pay to see you, but they are not paying for a stage door experience afterwards. And I think sometimes people get really upset when their favorite people are not at the stage door. But I do think they need to know that what they're paying for is our performance and not our stage door performance.
I want to thank Josh Young for being with us. I hope our listeners will both go to see him in concert when our concert halls open again. See him in theater because he's a terrific actor as well as singer. And Josh, thank you for talking to us today. Thank you for finding great things to say about Emily. Keep that up and enjoy the great gift of Adele's life. And we hope to see you on stage and performing very, very soon again. Josh Young, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
As we end today's program, I want to thank you all for being with us. If you'd like to listen to this show or other shows, you can go to our Personally Speaking podcast. They have other recent shows as well. You can go to that on YouTube by searching for Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti and subscribe. Personally Speaking is also available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and Spotify. You can also listen to past episodes by going on to www.CloseEncounterTV.com, all one word, CloseEncounterTV.com, and clicking on the radio button at the top of the page. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz, our engineer is Chris Wallach, and our audio facility is Dream Recording Studios in Belmore, Long Island, New York. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.